Seated. Again, Merry Christmas. I'm so excited about Christmas, love it. In preparation for this morning, I read an interesting article by scholar and author William Willimon about the very Christmassy act of gift giving. And as I'm reading it, I'm just increasingly challenged by it. And he writes, "Perhaps most of us have had the experience of receiving, right out of the blue, an unexpected gift from someone we really don't know all that well. And unexpectedly, the gift turns out to be nice, something that we didn't even know we wanted and certainly didn't ask for. But there it is, a good gift from someone who is not really a good friend. Now, what's the first thing we do in response? Right. We try to come up with a gift to give in return. Not out of gratitude, after all, we didn't really ask for it. Or out of friendship, after all, we hardly knew this person. But because we don't want to feel guilty. We don't want to be indebted to someone else. The gift seems to lay a claim upon us, especially since it has come from someone we barely know. And this is uncomfortable. It's hard to look the person in the face until we've reciprocated, until we've given something back. By giving us a gift, this person somehow has a hold over us, some power over us." Now, when I reflect on my own experiences, I realize he's so right. I do get uncomfortable when I receive unexpected gifts. I remember one time years ago, while Cindy was going through her cancer treatment, we were given out of the blue from someone we'd never met before a holiday at the other end of Australia. I mean, we took it because it was amazing, but there's that feeling of obligation, like, I can't pay this person back. And, you know, that time we have to spend a certain amount of time with them. They were saying to us, no, don't worry about spending time with us. You just go and do your own thing. You need time to rest and recover. But there it was, that nagging feeling in our hearts going, we owe this person so much. It's really uncomfortable. You know, I get uncomfortable with unhinted for compliments. Because, you know, you'll know when I want a compliment. I say, hey, how was that sermon today? Pretty good, eh? No, you don't have to say that. It's fine. That was my hint. See, now I feel obligated somehow to that person. How can I repay their kindness? Sometimes I question the motivations of the giver. What do I owe this person in return? Perhaps they want something from me. What strings are attached to this gift, we wonder? This act of kindness. You see, receiving good things from those nearest and dearest to us is easy. But when we don't know a person very well and they're unexpectedly generous towards us, that's so much harder. You know, Jesus said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Perhaps he should have added, but it's far more difficult to receive. And this makes me think, how much of my own generosity comes from a place of wanting to be liked or to be seen in a certain light, to be seen as a good person, a generous, kind-hearted fella? Do I ever give with strings attached? Now, of course, we also give gifts to those we love, you know, as an act of love, right? When our choice of gift is just right, we love to see the smiles on the faces of our loved ones. I even appreciate the looks of pretend joy when they try to hide that disappointed face when they get jocks and socks again. Right? I'm really good at that one, actually. At least they're trying to spare my feelings, right? See, Willimon continues. He says, "We love Christmas because, as we say, Christmas brings out the best in us. Everyone gives on Christmas. Even the stingiest amongst us likes to give, even the Ebenezer Scrooges. Charles Dickens' story of Scrooge's transformation from stingy to generous has probably done more to form the way we celebrate Christmas than St. Luke's story of the manger. Whereas Luke tells of God's gift to us, Dickens tells us how we can give to others. A Christmas Carol appeals to our more preferred image of ourselves. Dickens suggests that deep down, even the worst of us can become generous giving people. The truth is, we prefer to think of ourselves as givers, powerful, in control, competent, capable people whose goodness motivates us to employ some of our power and our skills, so forth, to benefit the less fortunate, which is a direct contradiction to the biblical story of the first Christmas. There we are portrayed not as the givers we wish we were, but as the receivers that we are. Luke and Matthew go to great lengths to demonstrate that we, with everything that we have, with our power, with our hard work, our generosity, our capabilities, had little to do with God's work in Jesus. God wanted to do something for us so strange, so utterly beyond the bounds of human imagination, so foreign to human projection, and God had to resort to angels, to pregnant teenagers, and stars in the sky to get it done. We didn't even think of it. We didn't understand it. We didn't approve of it. All we could do at Bethlehem was receive it, a gift from a God we hardly knew. You know, the Christmas story invites us to humble ourselves before a generous God and simply receive the great gift of his Son, Jesus. The Christmas story is all about how God did it all, and we are merely passive recipients. See, as a species and as individuals, we weren't ever good enough for God to say, you know what, you've done enough for the world, you've given enough. You know what, I'm going to overlook all the bad stuff you've done. God will never say to us, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, mate, because it's you, Jay, it's because it's you, mate. I'll turn a blind eye to the lies and the pain you've caused others. Not that you have, mate, because you're just so good, right? You know, on balance, you're a good person, mate. I'll make an exception just for you. God doesn't do that, does he? On the contrary, the scriptures say that there is no one good, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the standard that God requires of us. That's heavy going. When we recognize this truth, that we can't earn our way to heaven, rather that the only way to salvation is to instead approach God as a humble recipient of a gift that we could never earn. Tim Keller, one of my favorite authors, writes, "Humility is a byproduct of belief in the gospel of Christ. In the gospel, the story of Jesus, we have a confidence not based in our performance, but in the love of God in Christ. And this frees us," he writes, "from having to always be looking at ourselves. Our sin was so great, nothing less than the death of Jesus could save us. He had to die for us. But his love for us was so great, Jesus was glad to die for us." I like that. Jesus had to die for us, but his love for us was so great that he was glad to do so. Isn't that wonderful? The truth is, all humanity is on God's naughty list. But, and this is incredible, this is just so amazing, God loves us so much that it was his pleasure, his rich pleasure, to find a way for all of us to get on his nice list if we humbly receive it. We cannot earn it, but God freely gives it. It costs us nothing, but it costs God everything. The scriptures say, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help and to put the world right again. And that is the miracle of Christmas. Christmas shows us how far God was willing to go so that we could join his family, so that we could become citizens of his kingdom. But to receive this gift, we must humble ourselves and admit that we can't earn our way into God's good books. We can't give enough. We can't do enough to earn our way into heaven. We must humble ourselves before we can truly receive this gift of God. And it's humbling to admit to ourselves that we aren't good enough, isn't it? I like to think I'm a really good person, but we all fall short. And the incredible thing, and this is what I really love about the Christmas story, is that God practices what he preaches. Jesus' birth set the perfect example. Jesus' birth reveals a God who is truly humble, As God in the flesh, Jesus could have come as an A-lister. Instead, he chose to be born in obscurity, away from the corridors of power. As God in the flesh, Jesus could have enjoyed great wealth. He could have been a one percenter. Instead, Jesus came as a poor man in humble circumstances. The God who created the universe, the one to whom we will all one day bow the knee, came as a humble and lowly servant. In his own words, Jesus said, "I come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." So how do we get from God's naughty list to his nice list? We just humble ourselves before God and just accept his great love for us, the love he demonstrated at Christmas and at Easter. Scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same no matter what a person's religious background may be. The same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help God gets help. Amen? Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." As you celebrate Christmas this year, may you be one of the poor in spirit. May your life and your example demonstrate the humility of Jesus, who for our sake became poor so that we could enjoy the riches of heaven. Let's pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you so much for this amazing gift of your Son. You know, you planned since the world was created to adopt us into your family. You made a way for us to be forgiven, to enjoy true life, to be free from all the things that trap us. You gave this amazing gift of your very presence. So as we celebrate Christmas today with loved ones, may you just be with us. May you remind us of your great gift and your generosity. Help us to do likewise. For those of us who are struggling at Christmas, Lord God, may you be our comforter. You promise, Lord God, to send your Holy Spirit with us, to live with us, to comfort us in times of need, to teach us the way to live. And we just pray that for everyone here today. We just thank you and we honor you today for your amazing gift of your Son. Amen.